Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. We are taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll have Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel joining us at 7:30. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit as well. So looking forward to all that. Joe, the list that Jeremy Fowler have come out with over the last week or so, he talks to the executives, the coaches, the scouts, and they rank their top 10 players. I believe Jeffrey Simmons has been the lone representative from the Titans at this point as the number 4 defensive tackle in the league. So
that's pretty high, by the way.
Keep searching out there, Titans fans, for maybe some more position groups that are coming out.
But also, are Titans fans upset that he got ranked that high?
I don't know. I don't think so. Are you upset about it?
What? No, I'm not upset about it. I'm just saying I feel like people have been really down on Jeff Simmons. That's an awfully lofty ranking for him.
I would agree. Now, I think when you look at it, it's pretty clear that they feel like there's a top three, and then there's everybody else after that, like with the way the voting broke down. But, yeah, I was a little bit surprised he was that high,
so it's
number four.
So it's you could look at it as a little bit of a reputation vote as opposed to – but, yeah, and that's the thing. So if you're questioning that, and then that's the only guy who registers basically on the whole team. He is your best football player. Let's keep that in mind.
He is. Until proven otherwise, he's the best football player on the team. They've come out with the quarterbacks this morning. So I was interested to see, you know, kind of where these guys stacked up and what it looked like here. You're going to be stunned to know that Patrick Mahomes is coming in at the number one spot here for the quarterbacks. But somebody ranked him at 4. And I'm like, what? Who's got Mahomes at 4?
Okay, there's your 4. I thought,
what are we talking about?
I thought it was like somebody too high.
Mahomes, no, it's like four. It's the highest. You know, they, in this exercise that Fowler does, it shows their highest ranking and their lowest ranking. So somebody out there put Mahomes at 4. And again, this is not some writer in Baltimore. This is executives, coaches, and scouts. And somebody had Mahomes at number 4. Well, it just boggles my mind. What are we doing?
So, So obviously, I would think that means Burrow, Allen, and Lamar Jackson all out.
I guess.
Right? I mean, I disagree with it for sure. I think he should be number 1. At least those other 3 you could make the case would be on the tier with him. Which, by the way, I think our QB tiers of the Athletic are coming out soon here. But
doesn't somebody need to beat him in the playoffs? Like in the AFC? Like, don't one of those guys need to beat him at some point?
Yeah.
I know Burrow did.
Burrow did.
I mean, how long ago was that now? That's 4 years ago now.
Yeah.
It's a long time ago.
Well, it's true. But it's also, I mean, it's an interesting thing with Mahomes because, like, the numbers and the overall offense was really underwhelming last year. And then they got just destroyed in the Super Bowl. And you're kind of like, God, have they just been sort of, you know, sort of living on their defense and just, you know, like, I do get why some people might be a little bit wondering about, like, is it about to go the other way? Ultimately, you're right, though. He still got to the Super Bowl. And the year before they go to Baltimore, they were supposed to lose. They destroyed them and won the Super Bowl. So
I'm just thinking, like, then somebody needs to probably beat him at some point to surpass him on this list.
Yeah.
That's just me.
I mean, it's like people don't beat him. Sometimes they maybe more increasingly of late, they might have better numbers than him. They might look prettier than him, you know, and then they sort of find a way to grind out a win. But at the same time, if you're going to point that out about Patrick Mahomes, then you got to show me who he's throwing to. I mean, he's throwing to a diminished Travis Kelce and
a bunch of dudes,
some guys.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe Worthy's about to
maybe
become you know, a real, like, more consistent threat. But yeah, 4. I mean, again, like, I get how someone could get there. If it was 5, there's no justification for whoever that would be. Like, who would that be? Herbert or somebody?
Or they've got Daniels.
Jalen Hurts.
Jay Daniels at 5 on the list this time, which says, you know, second-year player. He did just take his team to the NFC title game.
I'm a believer in him. 5 might be Might be a little lofty. But then again, like, you get past that top four, and that's a definite tier, right? Like, that's a definite tier break at that point. So disrespect for Patrick Mahomes. I'm also seeing stuff out there about what people are saying. He's fat.
Yeah, Kansas City radio host said he was fat.
Kansas City radio host said he called him fat. Wow.
Little pudgy.
Yeah.
He said is that what he said? Little
eating
pudgy?
Eating Taco Bell.
Like, is he? I don't think he said little pudgy specifically now. But
now I need the exact quote.
We talked about it on the show last week. It was.
Oh, really?
And that was the day that you hit the tree.
Yeah, I think
that
was.
The day I hit the tree.
I don't think you were present for that conversation. I think you were dealing with some stuff.
Yeah, that's too bad. I'm sorry I missed it.
But, yeah, I mean, it was pretty strong comments by the radio host. It was just like, he's fat. Like, he's fat even for a bunch of 60-year-old guys. It's like, okay. Cool.
Fat. Is it? Is there actually a picture that backs that up?
I mean, there was a picture where he doesn't look like a bodybuilder out there. But, like, Mahomes has never looked like, you know, DK Metcalf out there or anything.
Right. Like, even in the quarterback, the first season of, like, the quarterback, which I keep meaning to watch it and I'm not, but hopefully at some point I will. You know, they had all those crazy workouts he did.
Yeah.
But it's not like he was Mr. Olympia while doing them. It was, you know, like, I don't think he's ever been, some specimen.
Well, it was interesting, like, because this led to a conversation of, like, think of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. I mean, Brady, look at him. I mean, nobody's thinking that he's some bodybuilder out there.
Pliable.
Peyton Manning.
Said. Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes. Like, none of those guys are really, like, all that physically impressive in terms of, like, if you're sculpting an athlete.
Right. No, exactly. It's there's other things that are a little bit more important than that. So he said, I'm going to call him grind vacation or popping up, and he's fat. I'm just going to say it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell the truth. Okay.
So maybe that's why somebody voted him number four.
Is this one of the guys still he listens to? Still he listen to this guy?
I don't know. We did have people ask that question last week when we started talking about this.
While I was dusting myself off and smashing into a tree.
Matt Stafford coming in at number six on this list. It like 6, 7, 8 is Stafford, Herbert, and Goff. So I think you're right. Like, once you get to 5, you could start to really
you could be
rearrange
all over
it.
The mat. Yeah. Top four. And look, all those guys. Lamar Jackson, he does. He has to. He's got a – and look, last year I thought he was getting it done at Buffalo, and then Mark Andrews doesn't let him get it done. So you got to keep that in mind. But still, you got – just like Josh Allen, as great as he is, like, at some point you do have to beat Patrick Mahomes. Is it his fault that he stood there on the sidelines celebrating a win and didn't have any idea that, like, in 9 seconds they'd go 60 yards? No, it's not his fault, but he didn't win the game. So
I do wonder how much pressure is on Buffalo and – Baltimore in particular.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If they don't get it done, could there actually be changes this year there? I wouldn't
Buffalo. I don't think Baltimore, but I think Buffalo. Yeah. A couple years ago, it was looking like it was close for him. And so, yeah, I agree. Like, at some point, the regular season just isn't enough.
Well, at some point, like, you've got to.
And by the way, it's right up behind you.
You got to break through and beat these guys. Like, it's going to happen at some point. Like, Kansas City's not going to make the next 6 Super Bowls, I don't think. But, I mean, if you're Allen or Jackson in particular, like, you've had a pretty good opportunity the last 2 years. Like, the AFC title game a couple years ago was in Baltimore, and you couldn't get it done. And then last year, Josh Allen had an MVP season, and they were right there with Kansas City in the playoff game, and then they just couldn't get it done. If you can blame – I mean, we got people on the text line right now blaming the refs. And you can do that if you want to. I mean, the missed spotting of the ball last year on the quarterback sneak was pretty bad. So if you want to, you can blame the refs.
Yeah, you know, I mean, but you also have to account for that. Like, that's just going to happen. There's going to be mistakes, you know. So you could always, if you want to lean on that, you can. But you could also point to several plays that were not made that should have been made. I mean, that's just how it always is.
How about Baker Mayfield cracking the top 10 in this thing? We talked a lot about Baker Mayfield this offseason. And, it, like, if Cam Ward turned into present-day Baker Mayfield, would you take that? And a lot of people just scoffed at it. Top 10 quarterback, according to the executives, coaches, and scouts out there, buddy.
Wow. Good for him. No question. Like, I feel like that top four – you know, that top four, and then there's a pretty big gulf. I mean, but you know, like Stafford's still, and good for Hurts being in the top 10. He should be.
Yeah.
You know, there's some big time talent, but like the consistent excellence of those top four compared to everybody else is pretty big difference.
It's different. Yeah. There's no doubt.
But Baker in the top 10, gosh. Now I'm like, I want to go through the whole list, and because there's definitely some people that you could make a case for being ahead of him.
I mean, you could, but then again, go look at his numbers the last 2 years.
Yeah.
They're really good.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to find too many that are better than what he's put up there the last 2 years. So,
but we'll see.
Again, numbers
without
aren't
Mr.
everything.
Duval. Yeah, we'll see. Not with him anymore. So.
See how that goes.
Duval.
CJ Stroud, not in the top 10. I need to go back and look at last year's list because I think C.J. Stroud was pretty high.
I wouldn't be surprised if C.J. Stroud was about where Jaden Daniels is now.
I think
it
may
right?
be, actually. I mean, yeah.
So we'll see. Is this a year that Jaden Daniels gets kind of dragged to the pack a little bit? If I had to take right now, if I had to buy the stock in either of those two guys 1 year apart in terms of coming to the league, I'm buying Jaden Daniels. Like, I'm instantly buying it. And I love C.J. Stroud. Don't get me wrong, but Jaden Daniels, I just think has a certain, the it factor. But
moxie.
He has that poise. He just has that ability to slow the game down. Yeah. As a rookie, the way he did that, I think that bodes well for the future.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll take some more of your thoughts on the quarterback list that has come out. Also, get into SEC coaches as well. Who's on the hot seat heading into 2025? All that coming up, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. The Bruschetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix coming to the Nashville Super Speedway Labor Day weekend. And 102.5, the game has your chance to win VIP tickets to the IndyCar race. Text in the keyword race to 615-737-1025 to be entered to win a pair of VIP tickets. For more information on the event, visit musiccitygp.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. We'll be joined by Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Coming up at 7:30, we'll get into all things Tennessee Volunteers with him. The Rex Rant at 7:45. Corey Curtis from News 2 for his weekly visit coming up at 8 o'clock here on the program. Joe, we mentioned it earlier in the show. SEC Media Days is going on down in Atlanta. That gets kicked off today. And Chase and Big Joe are down there. Our SEC Media Days coverage sponsored by Brewhouse South. Experience Nashville's ultimate sports and brew hangout at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. No coaching changes heading into this year, which is just wild. And I knew that last year, but you kind of forget about it in the offseason. And then you're going through the list this week, and it's like, all right, so this guy's talking then. Wait a minute, I know all these guys. Like, these guys have all been here in the SEC before. It's crazy that it worked out that way. So what do you make of that? And who do you think, if you had to identify maybe a coach or two that is at the top of your list this year of guys that could be on the hot seat, who would those coaches be in the SEC, in your opinion?
Well, that's the thing. And when you have a year like that, that probably means you got some real toasty seats in the SEC. And I think that's absolutely the case for quite a few people. Sam Pittman is maybe the least sexy one, but at the same time,
he's a fine-looking man, by the way.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying he's not sexy.
Okay, I'm just want to make it clear.
The hot seat, you know,
he likes an old cold beer after a game. Yeah, he's good.
That's right. The program, they're just sort of there. I'm going to piss off some Arkansas fans now. I think David from Arkansas.
You got to hear from a lot of Hogs fans. They're like, they beat Tennessee last year.
They did. But I think he's probably got to be close, right? Like, at some point, it's kind of like, okay, they're just sort of stagnating to me. You know, Hugh Freeze, we can joke about the golf game, but, man, especially that place, and I know they've had changes in leadership too, but given the way that they sometimes go about things with coaches, like you said earlier, there's also the consideration of contract buyout and everything.
Yeah.
But if they have a really bad year on the field,
I could see it.
I think that it might be one of those things where, you know what, Hugh had his time, just like Chip Kelly had his time. This happens. And in particular, I think with offensive coaches who, for certain stretches, they've just got a bit of a schematic advantage, and then it sort of catches up with them. Everybody catches up with them, and then it's like, oh, that's actually not that great of a coach. Might be the case with Hugh Freeze. That might not be the case. Now, are we a year early in mentioning Brian Kelly? I think probably, that the contract's big there too, right? But Brian Kelly, this is a massive year for him.
It's been underwhelming.
It's been underwhelming. They just were just awful on defense last year. And, yeah, look, you think about, 2 years ago, they have the Heisman winner. And, yeah, you know, they lost some heartbreakers, but you have the Heisman winner and you're not a factor. And he was a worthy Heisman. He was unbelievable. And you can't even have a special season out of that? Pretty disappointing. So I think that he's, like, on the pre-hot seat list. I think I would probably lead with Pittman and Freeze. And I'll also throw in – oh, this is a really interesting one. But Mark Stoops is an interesting situation because I still think big picture, Kentucky football fans, pretty good. Let's compare him to, like, all your coaches since Bear Bryant in 1950, okay? Or whatever. I think he was there in the 50s. Yeah, it hasn't been great, man. It hasn't been great. So you have to keep that in mind. But at the same time, he just lost his top recruiter to the rival Louisville. And I don't know. I could see – that's one of those where it's like, would they fire him, or is it like both sides could use different scenery and he might voluntarily leave?
Well, the guy that was at the top of this list last year was Billy Napier, right? Billy Napier, we all expected basically to be fired by the time week 7 rolled around last year in college football. And he didn't. He survived. And look, it's not like Florida had a great year last year, but with DJ Lagway in at quarterback, you saw – him make some big plays as the year went on, and the expectation for them is going to be higher this year. So I think it's a huge year for him. Like, if they don't live up to it, what's that going to mean for him? He's certainly not being talked about, you know, via the hot seat the way he was heading into last. I mean, that seat was, from the outside, smoking last year, and then apparently Florida did not feel the same way about it.
Well, the one thing about it was, it's like going – I remember because we had this discussion. It's like, so if everybody knows that, like, this schedule is absolute hell and they're probably not going to win most of those games, like, if you're the AD, don't you know that too? And I think that's the thing. It's like, I actually think he's a good coach and we're going to hang with him. I give him credit for that. But I think this year, what if it doesn't? What if it goes sideways and Lagway's not great like everybody thinks? I mean, he could go right back on.
He absolutely could be.
And I don't think there's anybody else in the league that I would put on anything but a pretty cool seat, other than another guy that we haven't mentioned yet is Brent Venables for sure. I mean, at Oklahoma, I think that this is a gigantic year for him. John Mateer is in as the quarterback from Washington State, the guy who followed Cam Ward, Washington State. A lot of quarterbacks go out to Washington State, throw for a lot of yards. So he's that's the answer. If he doesn't figure it out for them, if they can't figure out any kind of credible offensive attack, then I think Brent Venables starts to look like he's just a good defensive coordinator. And that is not a program, to me, that's going to suffer mediocrity for too long.
Yeah, I would agree. I'll throw another one at you that I'm not willing to go hot seat on, but it's going to be interesting to see the fan reaction to it if things don't go well this year. Like, if Alabama isn't in the playoff this year, and it's the first 2 years with Kalen DeBoer that they missed the playoff after all this run with Nick Saban that they've had. I'm just telling you, with that fan base, it's going to get loud on Kalen DeBoer very quickly. I don't think they'll actually fire him after this year. I think he'll get at least three. But if they don't make the playoff this year with the roster that they've got, it's going to get loud on Kalen DeBoer with that fan base.
Yeah, no question. No question. It'll get loud. It could be like – heading the list going into 2026 kind of thing. But, yeah, it's hard to imagine they'd actually pull the trigger. And, look, I still think, despite last year, there are a few times where it's like I actually did buy, like, okay, Saban wouldn't have been okay with that. But I still think he's a really good coach.
I mean, I do too. I mean, his track record would suggest that he's a very good coach. We'll see, and he's recruiting well right now, so we'll see what that ends up looking like. I mean, to me – with Alabama, it just comes down to how good's Ty Simpson, right? Like, how good is the quarterback play that they're going to get this year?
And that's a big question. And that is, you know, you're asking a lot of him to come in.
Frank, there's a lot of that in the SEC right now. Like, how many quarterbacks in the SEC do we just know that are going to be pretty good? Like, I feel pretty good about Diego Pavia and the way that he's going to play. I feel really good about Lenore Sellers. Like, yeah. I think Lenore Sellers is going to be a stud.
I think I feel really good about him. He's excited. But, like, is he going to be, like, put it all together and be great and be, like, top five pick great? Or is it still going to be like, man, he can make amazing plays, yeah, but not consistent? But I'm with you that he still is right up at the top of the list.
But, I mean,
in this league this year,
there's not much more after that.
I mean, like, everybody, some people think Arch Manning won't throw an incompletion this year.
Yeah, like,
so.
I think Arch Manning is going to be really good, but.
Well, Garrett Nussmeier.
He's barely played.
I'm a believer in Garrett Nussmeier.
Nussmeier's really good.
And that's.
Yeah. We'll see if they can get a defensive stop.
Yeah, and that's where BK, like, you can't have a quarterback like that and some of the talent you have and just be, you know, 9-3. Like, you can't do it. But, yeah, like, go through the rest of the league.
There's a lot of quarterback questions in the SEC this year. Really, yeah. I mean, really throughout all of college football. Like, I mean, you know, Ohio State's got a new quarterback coming in. There's a lot of Oregon's got a new quarterback. Like, there's a lot of new quarterbacks
right
this year.
You have, like, Drew Aller. That's why some people think Penn State, you know, could be the team in the Big Ten. But I still wonder about him. Yeah. It's like with Lenore Sellers, same thing. Like, he can look really good at times, but is he going to consistently be excellent? And then there's just, like you said, all these teams that just have new QBs. And one of them, we're about to – I have QB questions for our next guest because – that's my hot take. I'm going to stick with my hot take, man.
All right. We'll get into that coming up next. Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel will join us. We'll get into all things Tennessee Volunteers with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. It is SEC Media Days this week. The Vols will be there tomorrow. And to help us talk more about Tennessee, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Adam, how we doing? What's going on?
Not bad. I'm headed down to Atlanta pretty soon to fight the what are they doing the SEC Media Days the same time as the All-Star Game?
Great
idea. Decision.
Yeah, and I think Atlanta's terrible anyway. I think, like, Hoover is exactly where it should be, but they don't listen to me. Well, but yeah, especially this year.
Nashville is a shorter drive, but I'll take either.
Yeah.
I mean, Adam's fresh off Disney. Like, he was like manning the post at Disney World last week, and now he's got to deal with Atlanta traffic. A lot of stuff going on in Adam Sparks' life.
A lot of waiting around.
Back to work, finally. Joe, I tuned in a minute ago, and I heard you had a hot take on the quarterbacks, but I didn't hear what it is. Am I going to disagree with this?
Well, my hot take, so I might alter it now. No, I'll stick with it. My hot take was that Merklinger is going to start over Joey Aguilar, but I was going to say I could alter it to just that someone other than Joey Aguilar would start, because maybe George McIntyre could be interesting. But I'm sticking with Joey Aguilar is not going to start for Tennessee this year. The opening game.
At all?
The opening game.
Okay.
I think when the season starts, he will not be the starter.
That's not terribly unbelievable that he wouldn't start the opener. I wonder, you know, for a while here, it was assumed that Joey Aguilar would start, and then I've heard some Jake Merklinger stands this this summer. And no, Merklinger's the guy. And then since then, I think a lot of people, and maybe me included, have the theory that this could be like a Milton Hooker 2021 situation, but I don't know which way that would go. You know,
who's Milton? Who's Hooker?
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, one guy starts. He's serviceable. He's okay, but something's kind of missing. Maybe let's go to the other guy, and then the other guy is actually the better guy. And he keeps the job. I just don't know which way that would go because, you know, the whole thing with that year was Milton was clearly the better quarterback in practice, but there was just sort of a different thing in the game. You could see a Joey Aguilar being impressive in practice, but then Merklinger having a better feel for the offense, which would come out more in games. Or also, I guess you could flip it the other way, and Joey Aguilar's the gamer, and so he's the Hendon Hooker. He's the guy that just get him under the lights, and his experience shows up. So then maybe it would be Merklinger starting because he can run the offense efficiently. You would think that's how Heupel would go, especially in an opener a neutral site game against a team that you could lose to if you don't play well, that you would just want the guy who can just make the offense operate, which if they played tomorrow, that would be Jake Merklinger. It's just a question of whether or not Joey Aguilar can close that gap during camp.
Well, what about what the quarterbacks got around him this year, particularly at wide receiver? Because, I know every Tennessee fan is excited about Mike Matthews, but Mike Matthews has not done much yet. We'll see what he does with the opportunity. What do you make of where they're at wide receiver? How good do you think this receiving core can be? How much of a limitation do you think this receiving core might be for the quarterback?
I'm a little concerned for them at wideout at the beginning of the year. I'm much, much more concerned with them at wideout like two-thirds of the way through the year. I just think these numbers, this is going to be a problem. I mean, if Matthews is really good, let's say Braylon Staley is solid at the slot, Chris Brazel is, last year he was okay. He was serviceable at best. Let's say he's a little better. Okay, well, you got those three. You can look at any of these seasons under Josh Heupel or any seasons in football in the last 50 years and you say, are your three wideouts going to be healthy the whole season? No, they're not. One of them's going to get hurt, another's going to get banged up and be limited. And at that point, you're going to, after them, it's freshmen. It's freshmen and an injured Alabama transfer, Amari Jefferson. And so I just think those numbers could be an issue when you get into October, November. To start the year, I think Matthews is good. He's going to be good. He'll be better than what we saw flashes of last year. They like Braylon Staley at slot, just from what they've seen in practice. Also, I think slot is in that offense. You're going to get a lot of touches. It's just a matter of catching the ball. And so I think Staley will be – whoever's in the slot, and it'll be Staley to begin with, whoever's in that spot will slide into it pretty easily. That's a position that just produces in this offense.
And then how about Glenn Ellerbe's group? We have a listener who like every day like tells us how much he wants Glenn Ellerbe fired. But but it's a big year for him, right? And for that group up front, I mean it hasn't been as good as they've needed to be at the highest level.
Yeah, there's this theory around the program that they'll be better on the offensive line this year because they thought they sort of. They had sort of topped out maybe a couple of seasons ago, a season and a half ago, and last year they underperformed at spots, which I think they did. I mean, at tackle, they were not good last year at either tackle. Spraggins, I think, was not as good last year as he was the year before. So there's a theory that they could be better talent-wise. I think that's reasonable if it's sort of if you flip the receivers thing that I said. I think the offensive line could be pretty good toward the end of the year. At the beginning of the year, I don't know. That's a position where you've got to have some chemistry and you're plugging a lot of different pieces together. I like what they have talent wise there. Wendell Moy, the Arizona transfer at guard, I think he's probably like an all-conference caliber player. He was all Pac-12 a couple of years ago. I think he'll probably be their best offensive lineman. I like Pendleton, the other transfer, Notre Dame. I like Jesse Perry, Murfreesboro kid, who's probably going to start somewhere. They can't figure out which place to put him. But, I'm leaving out the five-star. I know David Sanders. I like the fact that the circumstances have sort of pushed him into the starting role. They just had enough transfers and departures that he's probably going to start immediately. They need to do that because I think if left to their own devices, I think they would delay him more than they would push him out there. And best tackle in the class in the country. He needs to play immediately. It looks like he will.
Adam, what's your sense for how much Boo Carter is going to be involved on the offensive side of the ball for Tennessee?
I'm skeptical. I really am. I mean, I guess it depends on how much is means he's contributing. Could he have a one big catch, one big play in the Alabama game or the Georgia game, or at the end of the year, could we say, hey, these five big plays he made on offense made a difference in some key games? I could see that happening if it's going to be where he's going to get four catches and six targets every game, like he's going to be a regular part of the offense. I'll believe it when I see it. because now he's practiced there, he gets reps there, but I mean, you know, with Jermod McCoy having to come back from the ACL eventually, and they lost a couple of safeties in the portal, and with all that happening, like, Boo Carter is one of your best players on defense. I think as we get into the season, they're going to say, yeah, we've got a route for Boo to do, or he'll get two plays. But man, you really need him on defense. You really need him there. He's going to be one of the best returners in the SEC. How much do you want to put on his plate? And I think that could be a plan going into every game, but I think sometimes they'll get through the game and realize they never activated him on offense. Now, if that happens, maybe Boo isn't happy and they have to fix that. But I think he'll have a few big plays on offense. I'm just skeptical he'll be a regular part of it.
So, Adam, obviously the Nico situation sort of derailed it for this year, because I think we'd be having a very different discussion about this team right now if he was coming back. And to me, the idea would be, well, if he can be great, then what does that mean? That can probably lift a team that appears to have some flaws. But if you take that out of the equation, just Josh Heupel's program at this point, do you feel like it's on a track toward, you know, getting to the next tier in this sport? Like, is it stagnating? Where do you think things are going big picture?
Well, in some ways, the Nico thing hurts him because, you know, you could have – if Nico's back, maybe you have back-to-back years as a playoff team. Then maybe they do that anyway, but I think that would seem more realistic if Nico came back. So obviously that could hurt Josh. On the flip side, it may give him, I won't say a mulligan, but it gives a reasonable excuse if this year, you know, they go 8-4 and go to an okay bowl and that's sort of it, because they can always point back to, and say, well, if Nico had been here, that's not Josh's fault. If Nico had been here, it would have been this or that. But, you know, I mean, a lot of people think that the program, that Josh Heupel has a high ceiling, but he's hit it and it's not going to go any farther. We maybe would have had a better answer to that if Nico had come back and they had only gone like 8-4, 9-3. I thought with Nico, this was probably going to top out as a 9-3 team. And if that were to happen, I think maybe there'd be a little more criticism of Josh. They may have somewhere around that same record without Nico. And if that happens, I think people are not on Josh quite a bit. But we have to remember, and I say this all around Knoxville. I say it to places I speak at. I say this within my own household. You know you were in the playoff in December, right? You know you won 10 games in December. Like, this is – you're coming off the most successful season for Tennessee in more than 20 years. And a lot of the questions this offseason are, why can't they get over the top? What's missing? It all centers around the Nico thing. That's what it is. Because otherwise people – and the fact that they got embarrassed by Ohio State. If they lose that game by a touchdown, none of these things come up. But, yeah, I have to think Josh Heupel's wondering, like, what do you mean the program's slumping? We just had our best season. But I get it. I get all the things that have happened since then. We all have a short memory.
Adam, last thing for you here. I mean, they lose James Pierce, Omar Norman Lott in the NFL draft. I still look at edge rusher and their defensive front, and there's a lot of really good, intriguing players there. What do you make of where they're at on that? You know, the sack total, I think, wasn't it quite as big last year as maybe people thought it was going to be heading into the year? So what do you make of how equipped they are to put pressure on the quarterback this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll be good there. You're right. They underperformed in some areas their last year. I think that's been a focus this offseason, to get the pass rush to finish a little more. I think Rodney Garner, the D-line coach, is just going to produce. He's going to have a good crop of D-linemen. And they're not going to be as deep as they were last year, but nobody is. It sort of changes a little bit this year. Last year, it was almost that the defense was sort of a bonus. When the offense was slumping, they would still win games because the defense. I think now the defense being really good is essential. If the defense is what it was 2 or 3 years ago, if it's what it was 3 years ago, this is a 6-6 team. If it is what it was last year, you have a playoff contender. And that's because the offense is probably just going to have to be propped up even more than it was last year. So I think the defense is going to be good. Whether it's going to be as good as last year, that's hard to say. That depends on if Jermod McCoy can come back from the ACL quickly and a lot of the things fall into place.
Well, Adam, great stuff, man. We know it's going to be a busy week for you. We appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we will talk to you soon.
Tell Bev it's going to be okay.
I try every day.
Thank you, Adam. Guys. Appreciate it. Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up next. Corey Curtis from News 2 at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It's a great night to be a Tiger.
We'll take it from here. This is Kobe Delahousie, number 42, but number one in your hearts, the Cajun kicker.
I'm catching heck from my own family about the fake punt.
I'm not saying he's not sexy.
You know, I'm in favor of execution. Maybe our entire team needs to be executed after tonight.
We'll take it from here. You ever had any crawfish etouffee so good your toes curl?
It was a beautiful Saturday in Columbia, South Carolina, an awesome day in Williams-Brice Stadium for Gamecock Nation to come together. And don't take that for granted. Just a small town girl,
living in a lonely world. It is that time of the day, the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning here on the program. Joseph, the floor is yours.
So the one in there that I loved, the Brian Kelly botching John McKay, right? It was John McKay, right?
Who was
the Bucs coach?
Yeah, Tampa Bay. Yeah,
because the question for John McKay, like in the late 70s, who was hilarious. Anybody who doesn't know, like, there's like an NFL films just on him. Yeah. But someone was like, what did you think of your team's execution? He's like, I'm in favor of it. But Brian Kelly's like, I'd like them all to be killed now. It was like, dude, that's not cool.
You did not land it, bud.
Yeah. Another.
Go home and discuss it with your family.
Family.
Circle back.
All right, so I'm going to talk about Dave Matthews concert, you know, because we've completed our summer traveling around with Dave Matthews Band. We're at Deer Creek.
Thanks for clarifying.
Well, it is. Dave Matthews has had one solo album where it's just Dave Matthews, and other than that, it's Dave Matthews Band. DMB. It's DMB, okay? I mean, I probably shouldn't sit here every year and tell you why, if you love music, everybody should try it at least once and then get back to me. Like our salesman Lance did when they played Bridgestone a couple years ago. He was like, oh, God, I had no idea. They're freaking ridiculous. I'm like, yeah, I know. And Lance loves music. But that's not what I'm ranting about. So we went to the show. And we kind of do this where, like, we'll do, like, one night on Lawn, and then it's always two nights at Deer Creek. That's in Indiana. And then I love playing the gamble game with seats where it gets real close to showtime, and all of a sudden you'll see, like, a good seat that's, like, way below face. So then we'll try to do that for the pavilion. But the night we're on the Lawn, we had our daughter with us, 14 years old. We had some friends. Shout out to the Munsons. Sarah, Marquise and Sarah. Sarah's maybe a bigger DMV fan, maybe the biggest DMV fan I know, actually. Bigger than my wife, possibly. It's a very good competition. But we were next to a group of people on the Lawn who were so farted up. Like, they didn't even know there was a concert going on. And I know I'm just going to sound like an old man yelling at the cloud or get off my lawn, get off my huge concert lawn. But, like, they were, first of all, Caroline, the next day, was like, I'm not going. She said, like, I just can't stand being around, like, really drunk people. And I'm like, I swear to you, that is not, like, what it's always like at a concert. But, like, there was a group of, like, eight people, and they were younger. They were so messed up. Like, every once in a while, one of them would be like, argh! Like, they'd recognize a part of the song, and sing it for a second, and then go back to, like falling all over each other. And, like, I don't even know what they were doing. It's like, why are you paying any money at all to go to a concert when you, like, you're not even paying any attention at all? Like, you're not enjoying the concert. Maybe the music here and there is hitting your brain. But for the most part, they're just, like, getting destroyed. So just do that somewhere else and don't spend the money to be on a lawn. Yeah. Just do it. Yeah. Have a party. I just and you know, again, I know I sound like an old man, but like it just the experience was, you know, it just it's tough sometimes when like and it, you know, of course, there's also just the wafts of you know smoke coming at you that you're like, geez, man, how much?
Where is this Deer Creek?
Deer Creek. They call it's technically called Ruoff Music Center, but it, yeah, yes.
You had a rough run with it is, all things deer last week, didn't you?
Seriously,
golly,
wrecked a lot of being a lot of deer and a lot of wrecked going on last week. But yeah, just I just don't understand it. And you know what? I've been young. I've been at concerts, but even when I was young, and maybe a little bit more, you know, wobbly. At the shows, I still was like if I'm spending money, like I'm still
I'd
like
to remember it.
Yeah, like well, and I'm like actually gonna like be into the music when I'm at the show, or else not go unless I'm going for free or something like that. But I just yeah. I don't understand it.
No, I wouldn't understand that either. That's a showing up to the concert and not being aware that the concert's going on because you're so inebriated is quite the move.
I mean, like. It was they were kind of like in a circle and like so like a bunch of them weren't even looking at the stage. You know what I mean? It was like looking at each other.
Oh, is there a concert going on here?
It's like they had their own little like campfire, but they didn't have a fire and there was a concert behind them.
What's
like,
behind us?
Well, you see that here a lot here? More and more, I think, especially outdoor venues with the lawn.
Yeah,
yeah. There's just people kind of there, but they're kind of towards the back. They're not paying attention, and it's just social hour.
Yeah. I guess. Look, I guess like so. If you have unlimited discretionary money, I guess fine. You do see that, and like the festival thing is where you would see that too. Sometimes where it's yep. like people are just going all day, and like they're gonna you know have their fun all day long, and so maybe at the moment someone's playing or they don't care about, it, so they're just rolling around the lawn and like seeing pink elephants in the sky. I mean, you see that, but if it's a specific concert at a venue where you have to, you know, it's kind of like these venues are all like you gotta get out to them and then yeah. take a long walk to get actually into the venue. And
there's some
it's
effort,
like, man. You went through a lot of stuff to just sit here and you know just like hallucinate for 2 hours.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us for his weekly visit. Coming up next, we'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.